Harpy and Lee for breakfast. The Riverina's 11:52 Triple M.
Love movies, in particular. You love movies.
Oh, love movies.
And this is a doco that's taken a very long time to put together.
It's been put together over the course of 20 years. The movie in the documentary is called The Faithful. We're catching up with filmmaker Annie Berman from New York City. Good morning, Annie.
Good morning. So nice to be here.
Annie, before we get too stuck into the people that this movie focuses on, where did it all start 20 years ago?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know if you'll believe it, but I was actually in Rome at the Vatican where I discovered a Vatican-licensed lollipop. And on that lollipop, was the face of Pope John Paul II. And it was at a hot dog stand in Rome, right there in front of the Vatican. And it just truly captured my imagination. It was one of these inexplicable epiphanic moments that led me to Graceland, the home of Elvis Presley, to see what the connection was in my mind to visit the king of images and of pop candy and to see if there actually was some sort of connection.
Talk to us about the film itself and what it's all about.
I was interested in why we photograph, what makes a person become a celebrity. So it was this idea of the image and legacy of Pope John Paul II, and that made me think of Elvis Presley, because he had been, this was 1999, he had been dead 23 years, and still I saw his image everywhere. And I wanted to know why. What makes somebody image that important to our culture? And then many years later, I became interested in Princess Diana, and she became part of this film too.
What is the thing that makes, particularly those three people, what do you think it is that makes those three people so captivating and makes people want to invest in their, I guess, lives, but given they're no longer with us?
It's such a good question, and it's taken me a long time to answer, as you know. What I was first interested in was I arrived at Graceland on the anniversary of Elvis's death, and every year at this time, it's called Elvis Week, fans from all over the world come, and they participate in this very somber, very solemn, ritualistic ceremony that involves lighting candles off the eternal flame of Elvis's gravesite, marching up to his gravesite to pay their respects. And it's a whole week of events and coming together. And a lot of why people go, and these are really the tremendous fans of fans who come every year, but they find such a sense of community and belonging and understanding of one another. And the reason why they might be fans may really differ extraordinarily. I mean, they're and I think that is why Elvis, for example, is so big today, because his image after his since his death can really be anything any of us want it to be. You know, some people identify with the young rockabilly rebel, and some the 70s Elvis, or some the mama's boy. And so it's really like there's an Elvis for everyone. And so fans might not even have, in my opinion, the same Elvis. But I think that for all of us, there's this universality where we tend to find something to connect with. And, you know, for some of it, it's sports. And for some of us, it's a religion. And, you know, for others, it's hearing a song on the radio and it just speaks so directly to you. And I think that's most of what you're seeing.
And talk to us about the different groups of fans, because these people attract, obviously, very different people who idolise them, between Princess Diana, Pope John Paul and Elvis Presley. What commonalities did you find between those three groups of people who you interacted with?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because in no way was I ever wanting to suggest that these realms are the same at all. Of religion and rock star have, you know, very little to do with one another, but at the same time, if you were to remove from my footage the central object of Elvis or the Pope or Diana, there are moments in time where they look exactly the same. So, for instance, the Pope was still alive, Pope John Paul II, when I began this film. And I traveled to Toronto for World Youth Day. And this was an event that Pope John Paul II began in his papacy. So the youth from all around the world would come. I think it was every 4 years, and we were at this one in Toronto. They filled an entire airfield with youth from around the world, and newspapers likened it to Woodstock. They called it Pope Stock. And so at times you would see the youth pushing and shoving to get close to the Pope who was driving by. And yes, there was a religious meaning to it, and that was the reason everyone was coming together to have Mass with the Pope. But at times, you also see just the pure adulation for this person who, I guess I would argue, just has that spark of charisma. Pope John Paul II was actually once an actor before he was the Pope, and he was very, very good with the people, and you could tell that he really enjoyed being with the people. He, other popes, there had a lot more security around them, and he insisted on not doing so, and you may remember he was shot at one point at the Vatican because he didn't want to be in a bubble. He wanted to be accessible. So I think that they all three had this accessibility about them and the desire to be with the people.
What's the weirdest piece of officially licensed merchandise that you've come across in the last 20 years?
Oh, good question. Well, it started with that lollipop. I thought that was a pretty remarkable thing that the Vatican would sanction a pope on a lollipop. He would lick his face. The other one, there are a bunch of them, but I don't know why the Pope takes the cake on this one. I think it's because he's the one you don't expect to find in these situations because of the holy factor. There's actually a Pope cake with Pope John Paul II. His face isn't on it. I have one. I've never opened it, and now it's quite old. And then the third papal edible was these potato chip bags that had, it was in each bag, there would be little images of the Pope, and you could collect them all and win some prize. And I actually do have a bag of those, and I haven't opened them either, but those are among my favorite and I think strangest of them.
That is absolutely amazing. Annie, talk to us about where we can watch the film, because it's available online for people.
That was something we grappled with, how to show a film in the age of COVID. And so we were sitting on it for a while. After 20 years, it finally was completed, and we were so eager to show it. But the idea of festivals where people are only seeing it online and you don't have tickets for your whole crew, a grant found us for creators to monetize their own content. We were able to build our own platform, and which I think is very much aligned with this idea of fandom, that fandom is a participatory thing. So we are connecting with our audiences directly online at our website. It's thefaithful.com, but there is a hyphen between the and faithful. So it's the-faithful.com.
Amazing. Well, we look forward to seeing the film. The-faithful.com is where you can go, and you can find The Faithful Film on Facebook as well. And Annie, you've got to come out to Australia at some point. Just north of here, we've got the Parkes Elvis Festival each and every year in early January.
Oh, really? Our
Deputy Prime Minister, which is the man second in charge of our country, did actually compete in the Parkes Elvis competition.
Really?
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, we take everything very seriously over here in Australia.
especially our fandom as well. Annie, it's been an absolute pleasure to catch up this morning in a fascinating discussion. Annie Berman there, talking about the movie The Faithful. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. The pleasure was mine.